Next month, 24 states in the District of Columbia are set to increase their minimum wage. Virginia also approved an increase in pay, but decided to delay it by 4 months because of the ongoing economic fallout of the pandemic. And business groups are lobbying state lawmakers for more delays, arguing wage hikes could force some smaller companies to close. In a minute, we'll hear from an economist who is against the idea of postponing those increases. But first, Karen Harned is an executive director of the Small Business Legal Center for the National Federation of Independent Business, one of the groups that's been calling for the delays. And Karen, your group's average member has 10 employees. Make the case for us. Why should there be a delay on a minimum wage increase that's already been approved?
First of all, you know, especially for the small business owners I represent, any minimum wage hike is problematic, even in the best of times. But right now, we are far from the best of times. We have, you know, 70% of our members are wanting to get more PPP funding just so they can stay afloat. This is not the time to increase the wages that they have to pay their workers. Small business owners have notoriously thin profit margins. And if they're forced to choose between raising their minimum wage or terminating an employee, that's probably what they're going to do, to the extent they even have employees right now, because the pandemic is still very much impacting the small business community.
I understand what you're saying. Another way to look at this, though, is wouldn't that make the economic crisis even worse to not fulfill these minimum wage increases, because workers would have even less money in their pocket to spend?
Well, that is a misconception of the minimum wage as it is. Again, small business owners have such thin profit margins that something's going to give. Most of them are operating under, you know, the gross revenues that they had last year considerably. I mean, we have, you know, probably half small business owners are in the, you know, 75% or less range. Some are, you know, below 50% of the money they were bringing in last year. So you start with the pot is already extremely small right now, and you have to make choices because they're having to choose, you know, on their own with regards to their own families. So I would just say that right now, I feel like it more than any other time is demonstrating what the problems with minimum wage hikes could be, because the real choices are you're just going to have to terminate employees. And I think it's better for somebody to have a job than to have a job at that level. And again, most of those minimum wage jobs are entry level. So those workers being out of work, I mean, that's where we're seeing most of the unemployment already.
We mentioned Virginia has delayed its scheduled increase by 4 months. Have you seen any other examples of local or state governments agreeing with you in delaying these wage increases?
So not yet. I mean, we are, as you noted, lobbying hard for, you know, delays. But I will note that the way that Michigan's Workforce Opportunity Act, Wage Act that they set up in 2018, that they enacted then, has a trigger. And it, one of the provisions in that law says that there can't be a minimum wage increase for the following year if the annual unemployment rate is 8.5% or higher. It looks like they're in that category. So a recent report indicated that they believe that they will probably not be raising their minimum wage this next January as previously scheduled.
Florida voters recently approved raising that state's minimum wage to $15 an hour by 2026. And really, since 1996, there have been 27 minimum wage increase measures on various state ballots, and 25 of them were approved. How do you contend with the reality that this remains a very popular position in this country?
You know, we appreciate that, and we understand why people, you know, think this sounds like a good idea. All we can do is let them know what it's going to mean in actuality. I mean, you know, the small business owners that can pay minimum wage are doing it. They're doing it because they want to be competitive and get the best workers. Those that are not are not able to afford it. And right now we're looking at very high unemployment rates across the nation, and minimum wage increases are only going to drive those numbers up, we believe.
While I have you, what else is on your mind when it comes to how small businesses are really going to get through the next 6 months of this pandemic?
They have been so inspirational and impressive how they have worked from the very beginning in our calls to try to take care of their employees and, you know, really try to do the best they can to make it through. Honestly, we're going to lose a lot of businesses as a result of this pandemic, and that is just the hard truth. It is very upsetting. I am hopeful that Congress will be able to provide the funding that they need to get us over this last hump until the vaccine arrives. But especially in restaurant industry, hospitalities, you're not going to see a lot of those restaurants and hospitality industry businesses come back. That really has been devastating for millions of small business owners across this country.
That's Karen Harnett, Executive Director of the Small Business Legal Center for the Federation of Independent Business. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, let's get another perspective now from Ben Zipperer, an economist at the Economic Policy Institute. Hello, Ben.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We just heard from Karen Harnett from the National Federation of Independent Businesses, and she said now is not the time for states to be increasing costs for business owners when they're already struggling so much because of the pandemic. What do you say to that?
Well, I think that we should all recognize that the need of workers now is greater. I mean, there's a lot of evidence that during a recession, employers suppress or slow wage growth because workers have little bargaining power. And we see that now with very little evidence of hazard pay and lots of workers struggling to make ends meet.
The U.S. Small Business Administration says there are about 5 million businesses with 20 or fewer employees in this country. Does that change the calculation at all when we're talking about very small businesses with fewer than 20 employees, as opposed to maybe small businesses with 100 or 500 employees?
I think it changes the conversation in the sense that we know the smallest businesses actually generally pay workers less than larger businesses, so that these are actually the workers who, you know, work for smaller, low-paying businesses are the workers that need the most help, who actually need us to pass public policy raising wages across the board so that they can benefit from that.
More and more states are passing these minimum wage increases as this larger debate about the economic impact of raising the minimum wage continues. So what does the evidence say about the economic impact of those wage increases in the places that have substantially raised their minimum wage? Does it have a discernible impact on the local economy?
It does, but primarily through raising the wages of low-wage workers. Minimum wages are probably one of the most well-studied topics in economics. And I'd say over the past 20-25 years, there's a large body of literature that finds that minimum wages raise the wages and incomes of low-wage workers and have relatively little or no downside in terms of decreased employment. So by raising wages for low-wage workers, we give them more money to spend. That reduces poverty and benefits the local community by actually having people in those areas being paid a decent wage.
What many folks like Karen Harnett are asking for, though, is a delay of many of these, because there are so many considerations with this pandemic. Many small business owners are hurting tremendously, and they're one step away from shutting down. They say that an increase of minimum wage will definitely be the nail in the coffin. I mean, those are considerations, right? When we think about this larger conversation about minimum wage during a time and a pandemic, which none of us have ever been through before.
I think those are important considerations. At the same time, I mean, we should recognize that the first minimum wage or first national minimum wage was basically passed and put forward in the Great Depression. In the late 1930s. So we do have a little bit of experience with raising minimum wages in difficult times. Second, the minimum wage today, the federal minimum wage is $7.25. You know, after you adjust for the cost of living, that's 30% or so lower than what we paid the lowest wage workers more than 50 years ago. Low-wage workers have been waiting a long time for a wage increase. Not only will it benefit them now when they need the most help, but because we're redistributing, if we were to pass some more minimum wage increases, say a national minimum wage increase, we would be giving money to the lowest wage workers who are most likely to spend it. And that does have some downstream benefits for the rest of the economy.
What will you be thinking about and looking for in the next few months as many of these states then enact the minimum wage laws that go into effect in January?
States that have passed minimum wage increases in the past 10 years have seen faster wage growth at the bottom of the wage distribution. And so we should expect that, you know, to continue for those states that you say on January 1st that raise their minimum wage. Also, what we should expect is that those wage increases are going to be concentrated for women. Women are unfortunately disproportionately paid low wages in the U.S. economy, and so they stand to benefit the most. And that's also true of people of color like Black and Hispanic workers who are also unfortunately paid lower wages. They typically see larger wage and income increases after they raise the minimum wage.
That's Ben Zipperer, an economist at the Economic Policy Institute. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.